Hello, welcome to Breathe In, Booze Out for the second part of March. We're back in our studio, in really the dining room at my apartment.
Dining studio!
My parents' basement.
Eric's not here, so we're going to pull out all the fancy stops today. I'm sorry, Eric, that's your fault for not being here.
And we're going to talk trash about you.
And that's Chris, he's back, Chris with the Houston Whiskey Social. He's going to pimp his show because it's coming up soon and tickets are not moving. No,
Oh, if they weren't moving, I wouldn't come here.
Double savage.
I want people to hear it.
Burn.
I didn't care. I was enjoying this Bishop's Barrel 9 that we opened up just before.
Oh, it's really good.
Well, the original Pumpkinator.
We gotta introduce ourselves. We just introduced Chris.
Oh, my apologies. I'm so rude.
Yeah, Ryan is back.
Yay!
On hiatus. He's gonna share some stories about what happened when he was not here and why he wasn't here.
Oh my god, yeah. And then we also have our new guest.
I guess he's a... I don't really like him, but...
Thanks, man. Love you too, buddy.
Unwanted guest.
Our buddy Johnny's here, hanging out.
How's it going?
He doesn't know... what was that whiskey you drank? Clit what?
Clip pickle?
So my grandmother's not listening to this one.
Clip pickle 12. Oh my god.
Sherry oaked. Or sherry aged.
Sherry aged. Let's see. Okay, anyway. He, Johnny, you're an enthusiast, but you're still a bit of a noob, wouldn't you say?
Correct. Yeah. I would say so.
Oh, we are. I mean, I got to tell you, over the past year, there's a ton of people from the Man Cave, the Cigar Lounge out of League City, or on the Houston Bourbon Society group that is just people have been drinking less than, 8 to 10 months. No one's an expert.
So, yeah. So by the end of the show, you're going to know everything.
Sweet.
Also, if you ask me about tequila, I'll be like, what? Yeah.
Or you'll be drunk, either or. Yeah. Whichever happens.
And that's...
First.
Then that's...
Either outcome is good.
Yeah.
Mainly drunk, though. That's what's going to happen. Oh, shout out to our December episode, what we did, too. You were there, huh?
I still haven't heard the second one. I heard the November one. I didn't hear the...
Yeah, we did two shows at once.
You told me! Yes, I was jealous.
We did the whiskey show at first, and then we did the beer show.
I gotta tell you, the whiskey show went over very well. The second one... right up against... What was the guy's name?
Charlie Tawadoba.
That's not what it was.
No, he ended up like, he was like, Buttwater? Charlie Buttwater? I was like,
oh my god.
Also, that doesn't sound like a last name. I'm sorry if that was actually your last name, Charlie.
No, it just, we had a few, and then you try to be serious for a second. Normally, the way a podcast or the natural flow of any kind of interview is you start off drinking, and then you get drunk. But by the time we started recording the second one, we were already drunk.
Yeah.
It didn't quite go as well.
Oh my gosh.
You're enjoying that Bishop's Barrel?
We are enjoying this Bishop's Barrel. This is St. Arnold's Bishop's Barrel number 9.
It's absolutely fantastic. Extremely floral.
It's so
very thick. Aromatic and delicious.
Before the show, I was just telling Chris that it tastes like someone just scooped in a bunch of like pumpkin pie
spice
in my mouth. And it's Jesus, you said it was the original Pumpkinator, right? Mm-hmm.
So they made that, and then they were like, hey, people like it. We need to release it, like, more than once.
I'll be honest. I like the current Pumpkinator, but that's significantly better than what's currently being
put out. It's also because it's aged, too.
Yeah. I got to say, the last Pumpkinator from last year, 2016, I wasn't a big fan. There was something about it that it had, like, a strange aftertaste.
I liked it more because it had more natural pumpkin taste to it.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
I agree with that. I agree with Jesus.
I liked it, though.
I love pumpkin pie, and I just like pumpkin stuff. I know that makes you a little basic, but...
Well, like I said, like I've tried a lot of pumpkin beers, and Pumpkinator is always my go-to pumpkin beer.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I feel like it tastes like the best pumpkin pie you've ever had in a beer, right?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't slap you in the face with pumpkin.
Exactly. Yeah. There's other pumpkin beers I've tried where it just tastes like... raw pumpkin, and I'm not a fan of that,
I got you.
No, you want the Christmas flavors. You want the baked pie. You want the
nutmeg,
roasted.
It's supposed to make you taste like fall. It's
Christmas,
supposed to Christmas, Thanksgiving. That's what it's supposed to taste like, and that's what it's supposed to jog your memory and be like,
it's fresh, raw pumpkin.
No.
Right. So, I went to Total Wine yesterday because Total Wine is taking over Houston at this moment.
Damn near trying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I picked up this bottle. I was in the scotch section, and there was a bottle that was like $20. And I was like, okay, what can go wrong?
Well, plenty for $20.
But, it was oak cask. There was a sherry and a burgundy cask also. Mm-hmm. But for $20...
Also, it's right, in a glass bottle. If anything's a plastic bottle, that means it's trouble.
And so I looked at the label, the price label on the shelf, and it said Spirits Direct. So what Total Wine does is they hire a bunch of small town distilleries and wineries to make a bunch of their stuff all over the, you know, for the rest of the country. And so you're going to get brands that you've never even seen unless you go to that town. Hmm. And how they were telling me is because when they do that, they give that town a lot of income because they're pumping in so much money to make it bigger also.
Cool.
And so these Spirits Directs you can only find at Total Wine because they actually own the brands.
Cool.
Here in Texas, because of law, they have to have a distributor to bring them in.
Texas law is stupid, by the way.
Yeah, no, Texas alcohol laws are retarded. Yeah, we just need a... drink and drive no matter what. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. So is it cheaper, though, since they're there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like there was a vodka section. Their vodka section has one that's kind of like them. And
but why would you go to the vodka section?
Well, because I was comparing the labels, and they have a Spirits Direct for them, and it looks like a direct competitor for like UV vodka.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like their peppermint bottle was like $2.99.
The UV vodka is the one that's like little tiny, like bubble gum and vanilla vodka.
Yeah, they have all those flavors.
Oh god, that tastes like a mistake.
Yeah. Regret. This one right here, I was like, you know what? I'm picking it up. I'm going to try it. And then I asked Chris if he had heard anything. He hadn't heard anything about it.
I've seen
it. What a noob!
No, right? No.
It's called the lead of the Whiskey Social, a noob. All right.
Well, I've done quite a bit of. Especially for this year's social, shopping at Total Wine for the event, and I've seen them as well as they've got a few bourbon brands as well, mm-hmm. as well too that I'd never heard of, and I've learned about the Spirits Direct program. They also, if you're part of their membership thing where you sign up for points, you get more points for the Spirits Direct stuff. But I have not yet pulled the trigger because I'm definitely a $35 bottle of scotch like Glenmorangie sounds a safe bet. Mm-hmm. $20 makes me a little nervous. So I will tell you that this is actually pretty good. Yep. Alexander Murray and Company, this is not bad for $20. You really can't go wrong.
No, the taste is great. It's not over.
It's a nice, solid, middle-of-the-road Highland whiskey.
Yep. Something wrong. Smooth. Some taste. Okay.
I'll so calling it a Highland whiskey, what exactly does Highland mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. So, and I could Jesus be wrong, Christ. But it just tastes like a Highland. So basically.
It says so right there, yep.
Is it saying on it?
Yeah, it's on the label.
Yeah, Highland single malt.
Yeah, so yeah, it tastes. It's got. It's very. I didn't even see that. It's very indicative of certain regions of Scotland. So, different regions of Scotland bear different flavor. They're famous for different flavor profiles. So, the Islands and Islay are very famous for smoky peaty scotch, which I actually brought with me.
Yeah.
a couple of bottles.
Not to be spoiled for late part of the show, you're gonna get the whole. Cool.
Yeah,
because we're gonna have.
I'm super excited about letting you try this.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's very famous for their like firewood, like very smoky, like chewing on a piece of wet firewood.
Huh.
And Highland is very famous for a nice sweet honeyed, like that has a lot of sweetness to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's very sweet.
Very sweet. Very syrupy almost.
It is.
And that's what Highland is famous for is those particular notes. And then you've got your there's five regions: Speyside, Lowlands, Highlands, Campbelltown, and Islay.
Campbelltown.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you heard Jesus. He's in the back of the studio. He said Campbelltown. I just want to make sure everyone heard that.
I'm in the engineering booth, which is the kitchen scene.
But yeah, no. It's a great question, John. I know like you're a noob, so it's great to ask those questions. I know some of our listeners probably not as
knowledgeable,
and that's not
as smart as us.
But. Like honestly, I wouldn't have even asked anything. But when you specifically said Highland, I was
please, do.
Yeah,
please
no, do. definitely. If I say anything, please ask because it's they're just different regions that they're known for those different flavor profiles. Mm. For instance, in Speyside, they do a lot, and I guess it's as famous all over, but. They do a lot of sherry finishes, in my opinion, Glenfiddich, Balvenie, and I'm a huge fan of the sherry. So it's got a very nice. Now you talked about your Christmas flavors, your pumpkin. sherry is very indicative of your Thanksgiving, Christmas time flavors. Dried fruits, dried raisins, that very sweet but concentrated marzipan.
Yeah.
You know. I should have brought some Balvenie. Do you have anything sherry for him to try?
Yeah, I do. Well, I've got Island.
No, or Speyside.
No, not.
I mean, there are some, like Ocantoshan does some sherry finishes.
Ocantoshan is great.
That's a lowland whiskey. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, Ocantoshan is the only lowland whiskey that I can think of that I thoroughly enjoy regularly.
I think I do have a sherry up there. So I'm pouring something that's very special since this boy here is on a beer kick.
I'm digging it lately, man. Shirt's getting tighter.
And carbs.
This is from Clown Shoes, and it's called The Exorcism of Rachel Wall. Why? I don't know.
That is so specific.
That's very specific. That implies a story that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
Someone died.
Yeah, y'all keep talking. I am going to look this up.
This is very smoky. What is it?
What it is, it's going to be an American Imperial Stout, which, Chris, you're a big fan of.
I'm a big fan of stouts.
Which is aged in rum barrels, which you're a fan of also. And I just... and then with vanilla beans added in there.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of stouts. To me, it's almost a dessert beer.
Yeah.
I love...
That's always what I think as well.
My wife and I, we like to sit on, you know, sit on the couch, watch something together, and a glass of wine or a bourbon... Or specifically, we went through a phase with Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company where we went through all their bombers. Just every night of the week, we'd share a bomber together.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got stout after stout after their Russian stout.
I was just telling Johnny earlier, I love their coffee beers. Their pumpkin spice latte is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah. We got them this year. We confirmed them for the social. So the only beer sponsor we'll have at the event is Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company.
Nice.
I'm dying to get with Rasul to do a little...
collab?
Well, whiskey comparison to try to pair a good beer with a good whiskey and maybe have them do a class at the event so you can go into a beer thing. But all that really means is I want to go over to the Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company and drink whiskey with Rasul.
our beer of the year, like I think a couple of years ago, was More Cowbell. It's just a nice, great... double IPA, and it'll get you messed up.
Shotgun, one of the...
We were playing video games. Jesus lost the match, and then the stipulation was you'd have to shotgun a Mortal Kombat. 16 ounces, dude.
Well, one thing I love about Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company is they're in the zeitgeist when it comes to grabbing famous quotes and stuff and naming their beer that. Great White Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great name for a beer.
Yeah.
Stolen straight from... Or not stolen, but borrowed straight from... what's that Hot Tub Time Machine film?
Yeah.
So it's More Cowbell from the 90s. That's still popular.
And
now.
I feel like they're a brewery that likes to experiment a lot because you always see new stuff.
Of course.
On them. That's great.
Like Bee's Nuts. Like
Bee's Nuts.
Yeah.
That one famous saying by the intelligent man.
That was like 1 year ago. Or maybe 2 years ago.
They also like to iterate from their different kind of recipes to make it a little bit more, a little bit different. It's fantastic.
I one thing I love about beer is you can experiment thousands of different styles and never get old. Like I fully support that.
Yeah. Like Lagunitas, they messed up a batch and it tasted great, and then they made Lagunitas suck.
Yeah. So did Bourbon County BCBS?
Ugh, no, they had a bad batch. They just messed it up.
Yeah. There was no retro. There was no.
I have one of those bad bottles here.
You know who messed up real shame. Bad? Carbach.
Oh! Hey. How are we going to start? So this is next one that we poured is Firestone Bravo 2017 and Firestone Walker, excuse me. Imperial Brown Ale aged in bourbon barrels.
Bourbon barrels. Grease over for the bottle.
Excuse me.
I went to Total Wine and they had
I said.
What is it?
13.2.
13.2 is the ABV on this.
13.2, He just made a crude motion, you guys.
That's I didn't. That can be confirmed.
I like this. I like this a lot. It reminds me of butterscotch.
Oh my god, that does. Yes, it does.
It's really good.
Oh my god, it is
butter. I have to drink it out I didn't get that at first.
You know what I call this? This is meal replacement. Like, if you're trying to lose weight, I could just eat, drink one of these.
Just drink a carb bomb. Yeah, a carb bomb right here.
It does taste like butterscotch.
Yeah. Oh my god, that is...
I was saying it tasted strange, but I couldn't put my finger on
that. That is a fucking Werther's original right here.
It's like your grandma's beer.
It's like your grandma's beer. You can find your grandma's candy bowl.
I would definitely say this is like a dessert type beer, yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, how much is a bottle?
I think it was like $8, $9 for a little one. They're super rare, or not super rare, but they're hard to come by. They're
hard to come by?
Hard to come by.
Okay.
With the Firestone Walker, like, anniversary series, Tsukaba, Parabola, Sticky Monkey, they've got a bunch of them that they sell, like, they come in, like, boxes. You saw the box for this, right?
Yeah.
So they come in, like, full-on 16-ounce boxes and everything, like, and with, like, a paper inside telling you the blends and stuff. They're all fancy.
Really good.
Remember at a Houston press event and they were giving out haircuts?
No, that was... that was Firestone Walker. Right.
It looks like you didn't take them up on the
offer. I'm sorry, dude. I'm trying to look like a K-pop star with my long-ass hair.
Now, let's move on to that real quick.
Okay. Oh, that's being a K-pop star?
Hey, we can ask my sour question.
All right, I want to hear this.
I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I'm just curious about sours. So there's this girl that comes to the man cave, Christy. That she's good friends with Crystal Rolfo. She brings a lot of sours up there, and I was gonna say that I for a long time I didn't like IPAs. They were a nice trendy beer. Everyone loved IPAs. There was like this IPA renaissance that everyone was making them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I've slowly drifted back to it. Like it went from being a few IPAs I liked to now liking more of them. Mm-hmm. Sours are the same to me. Like I didn't like many of them. A lot of them to me taste like ketchup, just vinegar, just super. I hate to say sour, but super sour. And it's getting to the point that I'm starting to find more of them that I like.
Yeah.
I haven't tasted this yet, but
that's a ghost. That's a
It's what does that mean?
More saltier.
Salty sour.
Okay, thank you. That's a ghost. I don't know what that means.
It's a ghost.
For me, G-O-S-A. It's like...
What'd you think?
No, it's not bad. It's a salty, like salt water. Like it's like a salty...
That's what we're saying. It's salty.
I get it, but this isn't... What I'm thinking of is more vinegary. Like I've had some really vinegary...
Yeah, I don't understand. Like...
Horrible ones. This is not bad.
Like toilet hooch kind of taste.
Toilet hooch.
This is way on the low end.
Yeah.
Most sour beers I've had are just super
trashy,
hard.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
it's like biting it like a warhead
with ketchup.
You know when you were a kid, you had a warhead. You had a lemon warhead.
Yeah, I could get
that.
That's what I
feel like.
But I'm on a not a sour kick. I'm more of a ghost kick right now. What really started it was Jesus and I were over at 8 Wonder, and I had the Haterade. Haterade is fantastic.
And you're saying GOES, G-O-S?
G-O-S-E.
And what does that stand for?
That's just the name. That's the name of the beer.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the name of the kind of beer, and it's always salty.
I'm a noob.
My question is, okay, so any ghost is going to be salty and sour?
In general, yeah. Yeah. And then a lot of people are in the
fridge
right now.
You know what it stands for? Ghosts on sex escapades.
I don't think that's true.
Adidas is all day at dealing about sex, but okay.
I would expect you after a few beers to be more witty than that.
No.
I've just started.
Get out of my apartment.
I'm not that drunk.
And they used a bunch of fruit flavors. To me, it's like weather's getting a little warm. To me, that's the refreshing beer.
I don't want this to end. This
I will tell you that I enjoy the Firestone far better.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that my palate leans towards heavy, thick, syrupy, dark ales as opposed to the lighter side.
Oh, yeah. And I guess it depends on kind of what mood I am in. Like now, I'm all ghost and I just want to be refreshing beer. If it's cooler, I want some coffee stouts. Yeah.
So let me ask you guys a question. This is a matter of professional opinion. I have been told by
some professional.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys... when you're trying certain beers, there are recommended temperatures and glassware to use for the experience. But overall, if you have a preference, whether it be stouts or IPAs or goes sours, for instance, stouts, how should a stout be served?
in one of those glasses.
That I mean, temperature-wise. So,
temperature-wise is more my question.
So it should be a little, like, on the cooler, lukewarmish.
45 to 50 degrees.
Right. 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 Now, that's how, when you're trying to experience it with someone, you say, here, try this. You want to do the full experience. Mm. But if you like, if you prefer... You know, I've tried a beer. I like this beer, but I actually prefer this specific beer colder.
Yeah, to me, it depends on your personal taste.
So,
it depends on the beer. Excuse me.
Your professional podcast, and I know someone who's going to be listening to this. I want to just, and he knows that I'm totally digging him at this. But your professional podcast opinion is that you should enjoy it how you enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, more towards on the specific beer because. Temperature brings out so many notes.
Of course.
If it gets a little bit warmer. Don't let it get too hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it, I guess, yeah.
So I prefer, part of my fun in stouts is a frosted glass and a super cold stout. Like, I love stouts in general, but I just enjoy getting on the couch and, you son of a bitch. For those who are listening, he's making a face at me like I'm Hitler.
Why don't you go?
I agree with you.
Why don't you go to Twin Peaks and drink their ice cold beer there?
No, I'm just saying. Like I like to put on a pair of shorts when I get home, curl up on the couch with a blanket, watch TV, and sip a cold stout from a nice cold glass.
It's how cold? Like,
I mean, we keep a set of glasses in the freezer at all times.
Amen. I'm the same way. I totally
you know
agree.
You are. You're a beer snob.
Yeah, but you gotta enjoy it the way you should enjoy. You want to enjoy it.
No, I argue that you should taste it, experience something for the first time the professional way. But then, like for instance, let me clarify. When I order steak, I order it rare, and I don't cover it in A1. But if you try steak for the first time, try it how it should be tasted. But after that, if you want to add salt and pepper to your liking, then. There's nothing wrong with that. It's you enjoying
but when
your
you
steak.
But when you tell me, hey, I like to come home with a frosted glass and drink an ice-cold stout, that's like me saying, like, hey, I like to come home and grab some Coke and mix it in with my LaFroy.
That's a little extreme.
It's LaFroy, well,
you call me a...
you mix anything with LaFroy? LaFroy. You will taste LaFroy.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what you mix with it. All you'll taste is LaFroy.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're talking about the beer snob, that you're like, yeah, it's the beer snob. Yeah, that's kind of the comparison.
So let's make the transition over to whiskey. When I introduce someone to a whiskey, I want them to taste it how I want them to taste it neat. I think all whiskey should be initially experienced neat. No water, no ice.
I agree. Yeah.
Now, if afterwards you've tried this whiskey you've never had before, the next week during paycheck you decide you want to go to a liquor store and buy the same bottle, you bring it home, and you put an ice cube in your glass, or a dash of water or whatever, and that's fine. You enjoy it how you want to enjoy it at home after you've worked an 80-hour week. That's up to you.
I like how you assume that our listeners don't have money in their bank at the present moment. They have to wait for the paycheck to come.
No, I agree with Chris, though. First, you got to try it the way it should be tried so you can kind of see what the people intended it to taste like, and then you could do whatever the hell you want.
I mean, I'll give you an argument that would also support what I'm saying. So when the master distillers are putting together a bourbon and trying to come up with a way that they think is a quality bourbon, they have to taste tons of samples, hundreds of samples. And in order to do that and not just get shit-faced and your mouth be ruined from all the burn of the alcohol, they cut it down to 70 proof or lower. In fact, Bill Samuels, the former CEO of Maker's Mark, when they were formulating their whiskey to make sure that this is where it needs to be, they would cut it down to 30%, so that the alcohol wouldn't anesthetize, so that they could basically taste it and it not numb their mouth. Now, then they produce the product, they bottle the product. Do you think when they go home they cut it down to 30%? No, they drink it straight, or even if they added Coke to it or whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that the final product is how it should be experienced, but then you drink it to how you enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, so you asked me on my professional
opinion. I regret it immediately.
yeah. And then you called me a beer snob, so yeah. You have to kind of expect me to be on, you know, the Vanguarder being like, yeah, don't drink it that way.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm totally but no, I'm no, just giving you a hard time.
Really, it is up to your personal preference. Yeah. There's some IPAs usually taste better cold. But there's some that when they heat up, I like those weird tastes that come out, you know?
Yeah, I thoroughly, one thing that IPAs particularly remind me of, and I think that it's on purpose, is spring and summer. Like, I'd love to mow the yard and drink an IPA.
Because it just smells like the yard.
It smells like spring, yeah.
No, I do like drinking it slowly, so first get the first taste ice cold, and it'll warm up a little bit, then you'll kind of get different flavors as you drink.
Throughout the process, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, numbing your mouth, Thomas D. Pinion Sazerac Rye, I love the way it numbs my mouth.
Oh, yeah. It's so Booker's good. Is big on that. I'm a huge Booker's fan. Yeah. And
You like Booker's?
God damn it.
The saltier, the better.
I'm a big fan of Booker's, and Booker's is usually on the high end, 68, 70.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll really put some hair
in the chest. I was drinking it with a buddy of mine. I'm like, you feel that? You can't taste anything? I was like, yeah, that's the thing. That Thomas D. Pinion Sazerac Rye. Oh, God. So good.
The more I drink that Firestone,
it's really good.
I
will tell you, the longer throughout the entire drink, the initial drink, and then. It's fantastic.
You know what I will say about this? That I agree with you. The warmer this gets, the better it tastes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some I also think that. The more aromatic it gets, really opens up.
Here's this thing. It actually does say
you can smell it more.
I think on the box it says that the optimal serving temperature is 45.
Mm. Yeah, 45.
45 degrees. Yeah, but like he said, when this one, I wish I didn't put it in the refrigerator for a little bit. I could have drank that warm and just snuggled up on the couch and watched some rom-coms.
Are there any room temp beers that you'd recommend? Or any beers that you prefer room temp?
I defer to Jesus for that.
I would say most of you want at least chilled.
Right? That would be the new market, right? If you're looking for a way to innovate new trend, beer. Yeah.
That's going to be the new hipster with your mustache. I'm like, I like my beer at fucking 75 degrees.
Body temperature,
98 degrees.
Microwave for 1 minute on high.
Perfect. I like to sit on the bottle for an hour before.
You're going to sit down like at Nobi or something, and they're going to ask for the bottle, and they're... It's like, oh, this is cold, and they're going to put it under the armpits and just heat it up there.
Oh,
like,
God. That's a new hipster, is what I'm going to do.
Turn your nose at them. You drink your beer cold? Get the fuck out of Nobi. Right. Wait, I don't have to watch my mouth on here, right?
No. It's an alcohol podcast.
I'm just making sure. It's been a while since I've been
this
on.
This is a Christian alcohol podcast.
Oh, Lord. Chris, you got a hecking stop. You're blessing. Oh,
so,
man.
Come on, Chris.
So you were not here for the last couple episodes.
Yes,
and I
because...
know, A, you could not participate, and B, the temptation would be too great.
It was too great. So for those... And then Chris was like, why are you doing this? So Jesus and I are on a fitness kick, which I hope is not just a kick. That is a full-on lifestyle change. And it's good. We've been feeling better. And then
you look better.
Thank you.
How much weight have you lost?
50 pounds.
You've lost 50 pounds.
Yeah, 225. I was 175 today.
I don't remember you being 50 pounds heavier.
I'm a tall dude. I'm 6 feet tall, so it's like weight distributes really
weirdly.
I mean,
that's Asian tall, but it's not like...
yeah. White people tall is normal.
I mean, it's a little shorter, but I don't remember...
Damn, you call me short. Shit.
No, you're not. No, it's not.
I'm kidding.
Six feet tall. Different story for
I'm
you,
I'm a manlet.
Sir.
Manlet.
50 pounds is a lot, man.
Yeah, 225 to 175.
What'd you do?
Changed my diet, and I started running.
Yeah, but how can I do that without doing those two things? So I lost 20 pounds, and I was pretty damn proud of 20 pounds.
I'm down 60. So.
Yeah, this asshole is down 60. See, I said asshole on the podcast.
God,
so he can test.
Man,
He's been weightlifting. I've been running. It's a factor of just running and just adjusting a diet. Just been eating.
The diet thing is what got me down 20 pounds.
Diet will help you.
Diet's like 70% of weight loss.
Yeah, I agree.
At the end of the weight loss competition, I lost 22.
That's great.
But
that's great.
I definitely put at least 5 back on in water or whatever. But I got so I'm floating around 222, down from 240.
That's fantastic, though. So, how long did it take you?
Well, I didn't take it seriously at first, and I kind of did it the wrong way. Like, I thought, okay, I have a problem with self-control, and I love sugar.
Oh, yeah, no.
I thought...
You should see how many things are on this table right now, listeners. Self-control does not exist in this table.
I thought that if I just caved in once a day, then it would be okay if I just caved in once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to Los Ramirez and get their queso with fajita meat.
Jesus Christ.
Listen, hear me out. This is smart. So I had them put fajita meat in the queso. Genius. And... just did that once a day, and that's all I had once a day for a week. And I lost weight, but I felt horrible. So
wait, you didn't have anything else?
Anything
the day?
Else that day except for queso? Yeah. And but I mean, I'm 90% sure that was not dairy. That's oil or something. But it wasn't
four pick.
So yeah. Wow, what a difference!
Oh, so Johnny's fiance is showing a picture around. It's me dressed as Sailor Venus, and I was a fat ass.
And me as Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I was still a fat ass.
I went vegetarian.
You don't have the paunch as much.
He doesn't have this paunch, man. Yeah. He's getting rid of that paunch.
I went vegetarian the last 2 weeks of the diet, and that's where I lost like 10 pounds in 2 weeks, no problem.
Yeah,
just switching, no meat. And it helped by watching a ton of Netflix documentaries on food.
So I was telling a lot of people this. I did not make weight loss my priority. What my priority was finishing, because I did a program called Kasha 5K. It's on your phone. It basically changes, it gives you like walked and run, and then until you can run for at least half an hour straight for a 5K.
I don't run unless someone is chasing me.
Yeah. So I did that, and then I lost about like 20 pounds, and I just kept on going. And then I wanted to do a half marathon. 13.1 miles straight.
And you ran 13.1 miles straight. I think in the past 13.1 years, I have not run 13.1 miles.
No, that was...
That's insane.
So I did that, and I was training...
50 and 60 pounds. So between the two of you, 110 pounds.
A small Asian girl.
Yeah.
110 pounds.
Basically.
one of the middle children is 110.
How old is your...
11. You lost an 11-year-old half-Mexican girl.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
I mean, geez, that's
incredible.
And
we're going to keep going.
Yeah, yeah, this dude, you have a goal. Yeah.
What's your goal?
180 first.
And what do you weigh now?
And then 190, so I'm 10 pounds away.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's funny because we went to the symphony the other night, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to put on my suit. And when I bought my suit... it would not button. I bought it on purpose. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to button this one day.
Yeah, thumbs up. That's a goal suit.
Rubber bands.
And and so like I put on the suit and I'm like, oh, it buttons.
Oh,
nice.
Man.
That's just a great feeling.
Isn't it a great feeling?
It is a good feeling.
Over the I've been married 5 years, and over the last 5 years, I've slowly but surely inched up there in weight.
You get comfortable when you're married. Yeah,
I never got rid of those clothes. I just hung them up on the hanger, and they've been sitting there for 3 years.
That's great.
And I could put on corduroy. I have these really nice thin. No, they're really skinny, slim fit corduroys, and they make my legs look really good.
No,
my wife loves it. And I could put them on again just from 20 pounds. I was like, man, this is great. Like, it's such a weird...
And then a week later, she can't anymore.
No. But I can zip them up halfway.
And the wife was like, five kids?
No.
We're
just totally done.
I can imagine like him... that song, This Magic Moment, plays when you get to the...
Before the half,
back to the booze.
Before the half,
more booze.
No, I was gonna say before the half marathon, I was like, "Hey, I want to be as you know, clean, as strong as I can possibly can." And the problem, and then so I was like, "Hey, Jesus, I'm gonna quit alcohol for 6 weeks."
He became such an asshole.
I know. I am very much an asshole without alcohol. So I quit alcohol, and I did the 13.1, and I did it in 2 hours and 16 minutes, which apparently is a good, hold on, I've got to finish this, time for a first time half marathon. I did about 9:55 to 10 miles per mile, and 10 minutes per mile, and then, I did it, and now I'm like, So far today, I've had like 3.5 beers and a glass of whiskey, and that's the most I've drank.
Well, that's actually something I didn't give up during the weight loss thing. We do too much with whiskey.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I do too much with whiskey that I can't give it up during a weight loss challenge. So I had to give up everything else.
My alcohol limit. So this is a
including the will to live.
this is an audio podcast. I'm Asian. I'm Filipino, so a lot of like. A lot of the Asian flush does not really work on me because Filipinos can hold their liquor more. My level is... Hold on, I'm not done yet. It's down to Asian levels. I am like super drunk right now.
Oh, really? Right now? That's exciting.
And he's like, oh, I finished you there.
Okay, and I was just I'm trying to get more whiskey.
No, it's fine. It's, you know, I just couldn't... There's just no way I drink pretty regularly.
So my goal is, by the Houston Whiskey Social, I should try to get my...
A tolerance up?
My tolerance up, or I will, like, pass out in the middle of the floor, and then you have to drag ass out.
Definitely please don't do that. I'm we not actually trying had to. Some... We had a couple of people we all know last
oh,
year.
Oh, no! Oh,
yeah,
no!
Yeah.
I still remember Whiskeys of the World. Oh, Lord.
This year, we
I threw up a Whiskey of the World, by the way.
Oh, did somewhere. You really?
It wasn't because of the whiskey. It was because of the cigars.
No, it was the whiskey. You were out there.
But it's
like,
everything together.
It's everything together.
Yeah,
but
I've been there where the cigar will turn your stomach.
Exactly, yeah. That was, man. Yeah.
But you know what I'm super bummed about, though? I'm too skinny for my kilts. I can't wear a kilt to the Whiskey of the World.
This year, we actually... there are four whiskey festivals in Houston every year. This year, we will have more whiskey there, more whiskey brands, and more whiskey expressions than any of the other four, and in some cases combined.
So you see me smiling right now? That's
yeah,
my whiskey
so you're
impression.
Have to build up that tolerance.
Oh, Brian, Brian.
We will have,
we're helping you tonight.
Yes.
So.
We will have 200 plus different bottles. There will be far more than 200 bottles in the building, but there will be 200 plus different expressions.
You'll have any Asian whiskeys, the Kavalanche.
Actually,
the,
and that's
the
other thing. At all the other events, there's no Japanese whiskey, and we've got several. We've got, we're going to have Toki, we're going to have. Asahi or Ahashi?
Asahi?
Asahi? I think it's Asahi.
They're probably getting the whiskey. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah, we've got a few things going.
Iwai?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I first got into, when I was getting into whiskey, my friend's like, gotta try Japanese whiskey. It's like the cheapest
so fun, man.
Single malt you can get. And this is back then when freaking freaking Yamazaki 12 was like $50 at max. Now I can barely even find it for less than $90. And it was
it's super expensive.
So I have three bottles at home. And I was buying them. And I was like, this is the greatest whiskey ever because it's like you are getting the scotch experience, a single malt scotch experience for like half of the price.
So Asahi Breweries does make a whiskey. It's called Nika Whiskey.
Oh, Nika. Nika is great.
So that's not the same as what we're thinking of, but Nika is phenomenal. And I don't think Nika's coming this year.
Okay.
But Nika would be the get.
Yeah.
Because Nika Coffee Grain and Coffee Malt are my favorite.
I killed that bottle with like four of my friends. It was fantastic.
Nika, they used to weren't, like a year ago, they weren't available here in the States. Mm-hmm. And Nika Coffee Mate, Coffee Malt, and Coffee Grain are easily my favorite Japanese whiskey.
Oh,
here.
No, Coffee Grain
so
is
phenomenal.
So great.
50, 60 bucks.
Takatsuru, before they got rid of the age thing, Takatsuru 12 was fantastic.
Okay. So I'm about to pour something I'm very excited. Actually, we poured the sherry Glendu Ranch. How was it?
It's very good.
I'm sorry, what?
Glendu Ranch.
Yes.
Glendu Ranch.
So guys, we're trying to give like a Johnny who's a whiskey noob, but kind of like a flavor profile of all the kind of different kinds of scotches. So first we started with Highland, now we're starting with Speyside. Is that Speyside?
So it's Glendronic, and it's I believe it's
Glendu Ranch.
Yeah,
God damn it.
This is a lot spicier than the other. The last
spicy,
yeah, and that's actually the low end of Glendronic. So for the guy who lost a lot of weight, there's no ch sound in Scotland. So ch makes a k sound. Glendronic.
Oh, really?
Glendronic. Okay.
Glenfiddich.
Glenfiddich. Okay. Sorry. See, when I said Brookladdish, he said Brookladdy, and I'm like, okay.
Now, that's actually the exception, because you would think it'd be Brookladdick, because the CH makes a K sound. Mm-hmm. But Brookladdy, makes a very Scottish Gaelic word.
Oh, yeah, because
I'm going to pour a lot of this on
it's a good color.
I'm very excited about this.
I'm a very, I love my peaty scotches. I love the taste of wood.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah.
You love the taste of, I'm sorry, what?
The wood.
Yeah.
I love wood.
Blood.
Blood, yes.
I think you said you like the taste of blood.
Yes, no. You like the taste of wood in your mouth, son?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just love it. It's like the burning taste.
This I'm excited about, man. Strictly for the nuance. Like, try to...
I'll explain.
Jesus, what are we drinking?
This smells amazing. Before we take a taste,
This is Barrel Crusher. It is a double rye IPA that has been aged in Whistler Pig straight rye barrels.
And what kind of rye barrels?
Why?
The smell alone is amazing.
Whistle Pig, one of my favorite rye whiskeys.
I can tell I'm going to love this.
Whistle Pig is my go-to rye whiskey. Unfortunately, Whistle Pig shot up in price.
Oh yeah! Last time I went to go look for it, man, it was like $70.
I used to get away with it. 10-year-old 100%
rye has been $70 for about a year.
Yeah,
it's just not.
What's that one that's 340? Oh, the Old World one.
Boss Hog.
Boss
Hog's $350. Jesus
Christ!
At Whiskeys of the World, I fanboyed all over the.
You did.
I fanboyed over the Whistle Pig boot, and they were like, "Well, if you like this," and they gave me a taste of the Boss Hog, and it was like.
Yeah, they pulled it from under the table.
I'm actually, you know, it's very, what'd you say earlier, divisive?
Divisive, yeah.
Some people either hate it or love it, and I'm actually a Whistle Pig fan.
Yeah.
Now, let me talk a little bit about this. Barrel Crusher, like I said, it was a double rye India IPA aged in Whistle Pig.
This doesn't taste like an IPA to me. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
It doesn't taste like an IPA.
It has 100 plus IBUs, international bitter units or whatever, and then it also is 13% alcohol.
Dude, so we just drank the Firestone Walker, which is like 13.2.
Let me see that bottle.
No, and then the Barrel Crusher. Sorry. And then we drank the Barrel Crusher, and then hold on, the Divine Reserve. I think this is like 10% right here.
Okay, I'm about to fall over. I'm glad I'm sitting down. So Whistle Pig with this is a Texas pro tip. But if you take Topo Chico, which is the best mineral water you can get, mix it with the Whistle Pig, it's the most refreshing thing you can get.
This is so good.
And it kind of
it says like hop forward on it, but I don't really find this hoppy.
You'll get there.
I would agree as well.
Hopper.
No, I would agree as well. I don't feel it's hop forward.
The hop is towards the back end for me.
I feel like it really pulled enough out of the barrel to really kind of mellow it out.
Yeah.
It's not IPA heavy.
It's on it. Put your tongue first in there. Yeah, no, dip it in there.
That's
what she said?
Taste it with your tongue first as it comes in. Jesus Christ.
We're drunk. Okay, first of all, you don't get to play the maturity card when you set up boogers earlier.
And Clip Pickle! Bring it back, Clip Pickle, for earlier in the episode.
No, I still don't.
I think, honestly, this reminds me of a mix between an IPA and a stout. Like, it's a nice...
No, it's more of a barley wine.
Smooth.
It's,
oh, yes.
Oh, okay, barley wine. Yes, yes. It is a...
It's yes. That... Well, I mean, the 100... The human tongue can taste, I think, 88 IBUs, and then that's where it stops. And so this is 100 plus. So the bitterness is at its maximum. And then, of course, 13%. When something is really boozy, it's going to immediately go to, you know, barley wine status.
So this beer... Humans cannot taste all of this beer.
Yeah.
I have a
damn
serious question.
Yes, sir.
If a beer is over a certain percentage, is it always going to be a barley wine? Or...
In a sense, yeah. I mean, it's going to be classified as one. I mean, this is 30%. They still call it a double rye IPA. But it's going to have the characteristics, the boozy characteristics of a barley wine.
Gotcha.
So barley wines tend to be how many ABV?
I think 13 and up.
13 and up? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can find barley wines that are actually made to be barley wines under 13%.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's just, once you get to that ABV, it's whatever. You
barley
know.
Wines are either, I'm going to get attacked by hops, or it's so smooth, it just tastes like...
And
this is one of them.
No, barley wines, basically, the hops are killed. The hop taste
is
killed.
Oh, is it?
I was going to say, most barley wines I've ever had are not really hop.
Maybe I was thinking wrong.
It's a sweeter taste.
This is very sweet.
I think barley wines are probably one of my favorite.
This is deep Ellum. Again, Barrel Crusher. So this is rare, right?
I haven't seen it ever since I bought it.
So listeners, if you find it, please get it and enjoy it.
I wish I would have bought two bottles.
and then saved one up. But whatever, I shared it with you guys. That's fine. Yeah.
And if you want, it's an octopus inside a barrel. It's fantastic.
The label is amazing. I love it. $15, somewhere around there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it's worth it.
Yeah, no,
it's really good.
It definitely is. And now we're going to give Chris some time to talk about Houston Whiskey Social.
I'm so excited, dude.
He already told us a little bit. My Max Steel is growing.
So, earlier in the show, I need to build up my tolerance or I will not be able to handle
Why?
This.
Because there's going to be how many?
So, okay, let me start from the top here. So, on May 19th, it's a Friday, so it's not a school night.
Thank you.
On Friday, May 19th, so about 9 weeks from now, we will have a gathering of whiskeys from all over the world. We are pushing 205 as it currently is. We will see what the final number is. That, you know, all subject to change. But basically, if you go to HoustonWhiskeySocial.com, that's Houston Whiskey with the E, social.com, or look for us on Eventbrite. Tickets are available. We've got a VIP option and a general admission option, and both are going to be incredible. We're doing a couple things this year that have never been done in Texas history. The first thing is we bought an entire barrel of bourbon handpicked by Houstonians for the event. So we will have 156, the barrel yielded 156 bottles of beautiful 120 proof bourbon that will be featured at the event. You can't buy it anywhere else. And on top of that, we have gathered together a total of about 16 different bottles that go as far back as pre-World War II, early 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. We've got a bottle or two of every decade going all the way back to before Hitler was in office.
Damn!
So what we, and this has never been done in Texas history, basically we
the first want, Hitler or the second Hitler?
Okay,
sorry, we gotta think what we're gonna do.
Yeah. So we want people to taste a piece of history. Part of this fun is getting together and trying something new. And we've gathered together a set of bottles going all the way back more than 80 years. We've got a 10-year-old scotch from 1941. That's 10 years old, which means it was distilled in the 30s. We're talking during the Great Depression. And these bottles will be available to sample to all the VIP ticket holders at this year's Whiskey Social.
So get your VIP tickets, you guys.
Definitely.
He definitely just made the VIP tickets worth it.
There are a few whiskey festivals here in Houston, but we are desperately trying to do some things that have never been done before for the pure sake of it being just awesome. Just trying something that's never been done before for the sake of the story.
I've been to a few of them. Yours sound like I've never been to one that has like 1940s whiskey.
Well, I went last year and the VIP was amazing. I had a lot of
last year we did some vintage bottles going back to the 1960s. This year we pushed it even further back. And this year we will have bottles from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I mean, literally every decade going all the way back. And like I said, 200 plus whiskeys. Uber's involved. You're definitely going to need it. Yes. We'll have great food. But go to HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram at Houston Whiskey. And just definitely check it out. Take the wife out. We will have, if your wife is a wine drinker, we will have a wine on site. Let's try that again. If your wife...
if your wine if your is
wife,
your wife.
If your wine is your wife. If your wife is a wine drinker or a gin drinker, Preamble Cocktail Lounge here in the Clear Lake area, we've partnered with them and they will be making cocktails out of these vintage spirits. So you can try a gin cocktail from the 1950s. You can try a rum cocktail from the 1960s. It'll be pretty interesting. So HoustonWhiskeySocial.com, tickets are available, and use the promo code, Space City. Use the promo code Space City Nerd and you will get 20% off your tickets.
That's Space City Nerd, 20% off. Dude, it's so exciting. I am so excited to be there. I would
hit up that thing.
Well, I just couldn't remember what it was, if we used Booze In, Breathe Out, or if we used Space City Nerd.
Let's go for the Space City Nerd.
But it's set up as Space City Nerd.
Yeah, it's Space City Nerd.
Space City Nerd, and you'll get 20% off your tickets to this year's Whiskey Social.
Yes. Mm. And when is the social?
Friday, May 19th.
May 19th.
That's going to be at celebrating my
end
birthday
of May,
there, so.
Just before summer.
And it's going to be across the street from NRG Stadium.
That's right. It's centrally located. Last year's event was located in Seabrook. This year we're going to be doing it.
It was such a comfy event, too.
It was great for us, yeah.
It was great for y'all, but I live near downtown, so I'm like, fuck.
Ryan's like, yeah.
Yes, I could go there now.
I'm staying at your place that night. So.
You are going to, yes. I'll pull up my couch for this asshole right here.
This year we're going to be across from NRG Stadium. And we are looking at doing, last year I think we had room for 300, we did 347 people, so we oversold the event last year. This year we're looking at doubling that and trying to do 600, so we want to grow slowly so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, but there are some things this year, and I'll be honest with you, I had TABC laws who are very particular. There is something in store for the VIP holders that we are not allowed to legally advertise. So just know this, that every VIP ticket holder will have something very special just for them at the event that is so special that I am not legally allowed to advertise it.
That is so sexy. I'm excited.
You totally sold it for me already, dude. Like, I want VIP tickets so bad now.
You will get this.
Here's the code, Space City.
You will get this thing that we cannot talk about.
Houston Whiskey with the E, social.com. Now, just to be clear, there is another Houston Whiskey Festival. And there's Whiskeys of the World, and of course, there is the Whiskey Extravaganza that happens in May. There are several whiskey festivals here in Houston every year. This is HoustonWhiskeySocial.com.
Yeah. All right. And you can taste things from 1940. You can taste things when your granddad, what your granddad was going on.
Yeah, you know what's great about that? Is so if you come to the event, you're a VIP ticket holder, you can taste something from 1941... That was back when we had 48 states. We hadn't landed on the moon yet. Right?
I'm looking at Chris and Jesus right now, and I'm like, damn, we had 48 states back then, yes.
I mean, part of what's fun to going in a museum is seeing a uniform from
that
time.
Less immigrants.
Yeah. Less immigrants.
I'll throw in my chair.
But this is something that is very... I mean, it's no sales pitch. Everything aside, no bullshit. This is a genuine piece of history.
You're drinking history. That's literally.
Something that has been
literally.
Sitting in the glass. And for those wondering, yes, as long as a liquor, because of its high proof, as long as it's clear and free of debris, it is still drinkable. And we have 16 bottles that are still very drinkable. And they will be available Friday, May 19th at the Houston Whiskey Social.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. Chris, that is very, very exciting.
Like I said, my Max Steel is very steely.
Yeah.
So Lafroy.
Let's go.
We're going to finish this off.
Well, just to give a big background, our booze noob today, Johnny, started Highland Whiskey.
He's never had.
And then he has
like
one that's like that's a little bit more brandy barrels. So now we're going to try some Lafroy. And Lafroy is very notorious for being peaty
notorious,
as fuck.
Notorious, infamous, it's up there. So let me tell you,
First off, the reason this is the last part of the show today is because if we tasted this, your palate would have been wrecked the whole time.
Yes.
You would not have been enjoying, you couldn't enjoy that Bravo, you couldn't enjoy Barrel Crusher, you couldn't enjoy anything because it would be just numb.
All right.
Yeah. Like, imagine being like the worst, the craziest IPA I ever had, but like times 10.
All right, so time for Lafroy.
So, here's the story behind this. So, there is a small island off the coast of Scotland called Isla. Back in the day, now, I could be wrong on this particular fact, but I believe there's no trees on the island. And back in the day, to stay warm, they would, instead of firewood, they would use peat. Which
they would drink.
Is that true? A man named Pete? They burned this guy?
No.
I'm almost falling on my chair.
They would use peat. And peat is essentially... They'd have these massive grass fields, and over time, as the grass would die, more grass would grow, but the grass wouldn't fully decompose, right? So you'd have thousands of years of partially decomposed matter just building, And if I'm correct, I believe if you cut just 12 inches into the ground, that's 1,000 years.
No shit.
Yeah. Now, it's either 100 or 1,000 years. I'm almost positive it's 1,000 years. So you go 2 feet down, that's 2,000 years of history. So what they would do is you cut into the ground using something, a cutter, and they would, I forget the name at the moment, but it cuts an L-shaped brick of mud out, and they lay it out for 6 months. It dries out, and it's extremely flammable, and it's just like a wooden log. It's they use it to heat their homes. Right. So to make whiskey on this island, they would use these wood logs. They're not wood; it's peat logs to heat up the barley and to roast it. The problem is that it, and not a problem, but the thing is that it would do is it would create a very firewood, smoky. You ever sit around a campfire all night and the next day your clothes reek?
Yeah.
All night. That's what this is. It's an acquired taste. It's arguably the most famous region of Scotland. So people who do drink scotch, this is the ultimate level of drinking scotch.
People tend to be very, very, very snobby. Like, I only drink Islay scotches. And those people need to shut up.
I'm a fan of all of it, but it's definitely an acquired taste. And I'm going to pour you a little bit.
Dude, I can smell it from over here. I'm going to pour you. Like 3 feet away.
It's very smoky. I'm going to pour you a touch. I want you to really coat the glass and get a good whiff of it first. And then when you taste it, I want you to just nip on the tongue and just kind of process it. Just absorb. Okay. I mean, it's firewood.
Right.
So the quarter cask is one of my favorites from Lafroy. It's aged in a smaller cask. So it ages a lot quicker. And it's bottled at 48%. I think it's 48%. Yeah, 48%. So it's a little bit more pungent.
Okay.
All so right. It's like stinky cheese. The French love stinky cheese. If you can get there, I encourage you.
I'm very excited.
I do like stinky cheese.
I'm very excited for you, Johnny.
I'm giving you a sip now.
So I just gave you a nip, and I'd like to give you more, but I want you to experience it first. Lafroig's my all-time special favorite. It's very emotional for me in the sense that my wife and I visited this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now here's the thing. We're tasting it last because anything you taste after this will be tainted. That glass is ruined. It can never be used again.
Ruined.
Holy crap. This doesn't smell like any other type I've ever had.
I've never tasted this. Could you please, I don't know what this peaty stuff is. Please pour me a
This is the adventure.
So arguably the most famous distillery. There's 8 distilleries on the island and two additional in the world.
I'm excited. He likes it.
It tastes completely different from anything I've ever had.
Yeah. Sir?
Yes, absolutely.
I like that. That's good.
All right. Thank you. Oh, so Johnny, first impressions, you do like peaty.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
It's very great. Smoky. It's very unique. Almost like barbecue pork. Like a very heavy, smoked meat.
There's no other way to really describe it. Smells very smoky.
I am very excited for you. I am very
excited. This smells like walking near a smoker.
Yeah.
While they're smoking meat. You know what I mean? Like that, just that.
I still like the, whenever we're talking to people about peaty stuff, they're like, well, I don't like scotch. I'm like, well, I like scotch.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's too smoky tasting. And I'm like, yeah.
That's what it's supposed to.
Medical supplies and burning tires.
Not so much medical supplies, but what you imagine medicine tastes like in the 1920s. Medicine flavor.
No, it's like that
iodine and
astringent.
Astringent. Yeah.
I couldn't pinpoint it, but it does taste
like it would kind of taste like
almost. You know,
medicinal is the right word, and it's used often to describe it.
Like it tastes like a. The barber blue juice.
Yeah.
What you would picture that would taste.
Where they stick all their
Barbicide?
Barbicide. I'm very excited for
you,
John.
I almost feel like I should be drinking this for my health.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and whiskey's great for your health.
Zero calories. Right. Good for your heart.
I mean, it's definitely not zero calories. No. I believe.
Not zero calories. Zero carbs.
Yeah. I will tell you that it is trans fat free. It is
gluten free.
That was a GMO free.
I would argue possibly because there's no corn. It's all barley. There's only 3 ingredients in scotch. It's barley, water, and yeast.
It's also vegan friendly.
It's very vegan friendly.
This is fantastic.
I'm very excited.
I'm super excited to hear you feel that way because there are two schools of thought. The vast majority of people, when they first taste it, are very off-put by it. But there is this section that immediately cling to it. And over other scotches, they prefer this unique taste.
I can't wait.
And you just fell into that category.
John is going to start messaging us and be like, is this good? Is this good? Like, trying to find, like, the
spot.
I'm down for the social already just based on this.
You explain me. When I first got, like, Lafroy, and they were like, Lafroy. They're very, like, advanced whiskey, bro. And I'm like, and I tasted it, and I'm like, the smokiness, no. I loved it.
No. It's a dinner. Oh, yeah.
Don't put that one up.
I loved it, and I'm very excited for you. I was like, I felt like a younger Ryan.
I agree. It's a meal. I mean, it's just this beautiful. You know, my wife is never big into Scotch, my wife's never been big into peat. But we spent a couple days on Isla, and everything on the island, all 8 distilleries, all they produce is peated Scotch.
Is this the one you poured earlier?
No, that's a different one. Right. So,
where are we pouring
this
now?
Is the 4-Oak. Lafroig 4-Oak just came out.
I wanted to smell it.
It's not available here yet. I've only seen it in bought it on a Netherlands website.
Damn, that smells good. I like that one.
Now that's cut down to even 40%. It's a little bit more smoother.
Okay, I feel bad for like even drinking this. Jeez.
I want to try this one.
Yes.
Okay. So this one, Lafroig 4-Oak, so...
Yep, it's going to be more mellow, more mild, very smoother.
Tastes very like a mellowhorn.
No,
I think the reason... What am I doing? Where's my water? What did you do with my water?
Just pour it in there. Trust me, this one's fine.
I think why I'm attracted to it so quickly is that the reason that I gravitated towards rye whiskeys originally is because I like them because they're not so sweet. They're more...
Spicier,
yeah, and I like that a lot, you know.
Oh, I would I can't remember the name.
This one's very good.
Midsummer Night's Dram. Who's who makes that?
It's High West.
High West. I would recommend High West for you. Sorry, listeners, I'm drunk, but High West, if you can get Boorai is fantastic. Son of Boorai is a little bit cheaper, but High West is one of my I love some of my American whiskeys. Is High West is fantastic.
I'm a huge fan. Lafroig, like I said, we spent a couple of days on Isla, and all they have is peated Scotch, and my wife just... That's all you have? You learn to acclimate. You learn to really enjoy it and find something about it you really like.
Yeah.
And this is just... I mean, the quarter cask... For those who are wondering, we're drinking Lafroig... Let's try that again. Lafroig quarter cask and Lafroig 4-Oak.
The first one we had, the quarter cask, was really good. I don't know.
That's much more muted.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I like one more than the other. I think it's just...
Whoa. So I just tasted it. It's so uncharacteristic.
It's so different from the other one.
It's so uncharacteristic of Lafroig.
Yeah. It's a lot more mild.
Yeah, it's a lot milder. And you don't think about that.
And I'm sorry to make the comparison to Mellicorn, but going from the quarter cask over to the 4-Oaks, it really kind of does taste like Mellicorn.
Just a very mild. It's 40% cut to the minimum, and the 4-Wood or 4-Oak.
But and that's what I'm saying. Mellicorn is not a bad whiskey.
No, I love Mellicorn.
Yeah,
Mellicorn is a nerd following. Yeah. Sure,
but it's just the taste going, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the other. It's just wow, this is totally mild.
4-Wood. I actually, totally honest. I think I like the quarter cask better than the other one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's all right. Case. So you are
quarter cask is great. Yeah.
You are a peat head in training. Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, the next thing you need to try is Lagavulin. This is Smokehead. Now, it's not officially stated, but this is Ardbeg. Smokehead is Ardbeg.
Is it?
Yeah,
Ardbeg is fantastic.
I've had Ardbeg with like peppercorn in it. It was
spicy and smoky.
Yeah. So. Man, thank you, Chris, for sharing those Lafroig with us.
And you heard what the man said. You have to get a VIP ticket to Yusuke Whiskey Social. It's going to be so great.
So, like I said...
He's asking his fiance right now, please.
Yeah,
I really want to go.
The event is Friday, May 19th. VIP gets in at 6. General admission gets in at 7. It's from 7 to 9:30, and it is 200 plus whiskeys, great food, and some of the most incredible moments you will ever have.
It's going to be
exciting. And it will only be good with some of... the part of what makes it great is doing this with friends.
Yes, so of course.
Definitely bring someone you love, whether it be a wife or a buddy.
Yes.
And it is my personal mission...
I'm going to be there with Jesus.
That yes, you leave my there bro. With it's a smile my on bro. Your face.
Yeah. No, bring Jill. I need a buddy. Which is your wife.
All right.
And Jen.
I'm going to try.
My wife is actually getting into whiskey. She's enjoying it.
Yeah?
So. Whiskey is great. I'm going to try to see if my kilt still
fits.
When
you say they're going to have food, so like the finest Jack in the Box, right?
No.
Absolutely. Tacos at 2 a.m.
Let me tell you this.
Dollar tacos.
Last year, R.I.P. Collins. Collins Catered.
Collins or Cullens?
Collins, whatever.
Collins.
I'm also getting there, so they catered there. Prime rib.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's included in the price of the VIP ticket?
Yeah, whiskey. No, that's included in the general admission price.
Oh, nice.
So last year we also went to Whiskeys of the World, and it's like whiskey festivals have great. They call it appetizers. But they're not. They're just like full on. You can grab a plate.
You need to line your food, your stomach with some carbs.
They had sushi at Whiskey's of the World.
What happened right
sushi?
Now?
Yeah, they had sushi. They had New York prime rib.
Yeah, you want to. You have to eat something while you drink. I mean, you can't come anywhere near 200 plus whiskeys.
Yeah, definitely.
Without food in your gut.
Oh man,
I mean, you can if you want to die.
If you get 200 whiskeys, come see me. I'm an Asian guy. I'll give you a high five.
And of course Breathe In Booze Out will be there. We'll try to do something, maybe do some video or whatever, get some interviews out there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll see how that goes,
see what kind of whiskey.
But thank you so much, Chris, for spending some time with us. I hope you enjoyed it.
Chris, you're always a delight. Thank you for bringing all of this wonderful things. I am so excited. I'm
no, guys,
so I'm happy to share it with you.
I mean this with every fiber in my being. It's not you thanking me, it's me thanking you. This has always been fun. It's always been arguably risky for marketing reasons, but we've always crossed certain lines you probably shouldn't have crossed, but I will tell you that you guys have been extremely hospitable, and I couldn't thank you guys enough.
I mean, when we get on the show, it's all just about relaxing and having a good time.
But that's the thing. Friends. That's what the Whiskey Social is about, is getting a bunch of friends together around a table, trying. We tried 4 different beers, couple different whiskeys, like that. That's what this is about: is good conversation, great whiskey, great beer. I mean, just trying something new. It's the Houston Whiskey Social, not festival. I mean, this is about getting together and just making friends with people. I just met you. I love you,
Johnny. We love you, Johnny. We love you.
So it's that's what it's about.
Exactly. So May 19th, Breathe In Booze Out will be there. Chris will be there. Johnny's now going to be there officially.
I'm definitely going to be there. Yeah.
So
yeah. Johnny's
we'll see
already
you guys
all
there,
up on that.
And Chris is going to be coming back for our whiskey show next month. So
I am very excited. Also.
All right. Well, from on behalf of myself, Ryan, Chris, and Johnny. Cheers, Space City.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.